Okay, good evening. So first of all, thank you to the Orenbachs for hosting this year. We appreciate that. The shir tonight is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Sarah Bas Rav Yochanan, Sonia Fink. She was Italian, apparently. The person who sponsored this, a grandchild of hers, had asked specifically for a shir about Simcha, because he said she was a particularly impressive Bala Simcha. She lived the life of Simcha Zachayim. She was a very happy person, and he noted in his email on the request for the shir that it's a very bleak and dark time, although there was a little bit of ray of light tonight. I don't know if people saw in the news that there were two hostages that were found, but it's generally a very very dark time, very bleak time, and as we enter Adar, which is supposed to be the month of Simcha, Mishin Nichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, so he thought it'd be nice to spread a little bit of happiness. He actually did a very beautiful thing. I was so flattered, and he emailed me that he wanted me to give a yahrzeit shir for his grandmother. I even thought maybe he wanted me to fly to New York, because he's not even from L.A. I thought I was going to get on a first class, you know, take it whatever. He said, no, give it in L.A., and I'm asking like 10 other rabbis also. I mean, he was spreading the love, but it was a beautiful idea that everyone's going to be talking about Simcha for a couple of nights around the yahrzeit of his grandmother against that Sarah Bas Rav Yochanan, and the Divrei Torah tonight should be an ilei for her neshama. The source sheet in front of you, it's not critical. You don't have to know how to read every word. That's okay. Don't get turned off by the source sheet. It's actually B'siyat HaShemaya, I think, very, very important, very fundamental, and very invigorating and enlightening ideas that will come out of what we learned tonight. So even if you pick up just a nugget here and there, hopefully it will have an impact on our approach to the idea of simcha, the idea of happiness. When people usually hear a shir about happiness, and the truth is our title on the flyer really made it sound like this, people usually give a shir about what is happiness, defining what simcha is, and they come up with these highfalutin answers, you know, happiness is not the wholesale cheap simcha they sell in Hollywood, and it's not a smiling when you make money, and money doesn't buy happiness, and happiness is a state of mind, and happiness is contentment, and yada, 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 all these ideas. They're all true, they're all correct, but they're usually like a little bit over my head in terms of the grasp, in terms of the idea of what they're saying. And then what the worst part is that the end of that shir, the maskana, the conclusion of that shir, is always some esoteric, lofty idea of what happiness is and how I'm supposed to achieve it and how the goal in life is really attainable of getting a simcha, of getting happiness. It's often too high above my head and it's often too cerebral in some ways for me to connect to emotionally. So I usually leave shiurim about the simcha a lot less happy than I came in, because I feel like I didn't know what I was looking for in the past, and I sure don't know what I am looking for now either. So I thought we would take a different approach tonight. So instead of trying to define what happiness is and trying to define what simcha really is, I thought we'd take an approach through halacha. It's really a more broad halacha, more general halacha. The concept of simcha within mitzvos and the mitzvah of simcha. You see from the title, simcha b'mitzvos and mitzvos b'simcha. We'll see soon what exactly that means. And through approaching what the concept of simcha is in halacha, maybe it'll shed a little light on what we already have in terms of happiness, what we already have in terms of simcha, and how we're supposed to incorporate that into our general service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our general level of Hashem. So ironically, the most famous pasuk regarding simcha in our Torah that intimates at least a demand that there be a sense of happiness in a person's life. And about this Hashem, you have it in source number one. It's ironic because it's in the Tocha. It's right in the middle of all the curses the Jewish people receive. The psukim tell us, they threaten us with all of these possible calamities that are going to befall us if we don't act in the proper way. And after all of that, the Torah says, tachas. Tachas means because. Tachas means because of the fact. Tachas asher lo avaratas Hashem alokecha b'simcha v'tu levav me'rov kol. The pasuk admonishes us and says you were terrible and you're going to get terrible curses, and all of this is because asher lo avaratas Hashem alokecha b'simcha v'tu levav, that you didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't do avodas Hashem with simcha. The most obvious read of the pasuk over here, the simplest pshat, and Mefarshim do say this, the simplest idea in the pasuk over here is that the pasuk is basically saying that you could have a Klal Yisrael who's performing the whole Torah, all 613 mitzvos, but they're doing it heartlessly. They're doing it with a cold, the litvish personality. They're not smiling. They're not enjoying. They're not dancing when they're doing the mitzvos. And because they're not doing it b'simcha, the tochacha comes, the kisavo, the harshest of punishments that we can imagine. Terrible, terrible calamities that will befall, horrific things that we don't even want to imagine. So that will happen to a Klal Yisrael that keeps mitzvos, but doesn't do it happily, doesn't do it b'simcha. It's a peladega thing. It's a scary, frightening idea. But that's what the pasuk seems to be implying. And the implication then is that when a person does mitzvos, what do they have to feel? Simcha, happiness. That's obvious, right? By implication, that's what it means. And the truth is, the Rambam says this. Source number two, the Rambam clearly learned the pasuk this way as well. If you look in the bold with me for just a moment, HaSimcha sheyismach adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah. The happiness, the joy that a person is supposed to feel, the elation when he's performing a mitzvah, avod de gedolehi. It's a large task. It's a serious, challenging mission to try to accomplish. In the underline, v'chol amoneya atzma simcha zo. If you hold back, if you're too cold, if you don't express that simcha, roi li parei mimenu, you're going to be paid back. There's going to be revenge taken on you and the Jewish people. Shnei Mar, as the pasuk says, Tachas Asher Lo Avadatas Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'Tuv Leva. If you look in source number 3 of the Magid Mishnah, the commentary on the Rambam, who explains V'Ikar Davar Hu Shein Roy Lo Adam Lasos HaMitzvah Mitzad Shu Hein Chova Alav Hu Muchrach V'Anas B'Asiyasan. A person shouldn't perform mitzvah simply because they have to, because they feel like it's they're forced into it, because they feel like they absolutely are forced by the Torah. You know, we read it in 2 weeks ago that we were standing under the mountain, that if we don't keep the mitzvahs, it's going to drop a mountain on us. That's not the way you should perform mitzvahs. You're supposed to enjoy the process. You're supposed to feel a simcha, a happiness, a joy, an elation, an excitement about the mitzvahs, and you're supposed to feel committed to the mitzvahs in that sense, not in the sense of feeling like a slave who's being whipped, but in the sense of enjoying it. It might be laborious, it might be hard to get up in time to daven, it might be hard to make a zman for mincha, it might be hard to light candles in time for Shabbos or Tosefta Shabbos, it might be hard to do b'dikas chametz when we have to do b'dikas chametz. There are a lot of mitzvahs that are very difficult, that is true, but it's a labor of love. It's not a labor that's torturous. It's not a labor that's bothersome. It's not annoying. It's not a nuisance. It's something we do b'simcha. And if we don't, tachas asher lo avadat Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav, the Rambam says that the pshat in the pasuk over here, the idea the pasuk is trying to convey, is that the calamities will befall us if we don't perfectly perform mitzvos in a happy state. That's what we see from the Rambam so far. Which is again, that's like sort of the simple way of reading the pesukim. And this, calls to mind a famous, maybe even more famous, pasuk in Tehillim. You have it in source number 4. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. The pasuk tells us, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, that a person should ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, which means, translate very simply, serve Hashem with simcha. So it sounds like the same idea, correct? Serve Hashem with simcha. And ostensibly, it is the same idea. It probably is exactly the same shot, superficially for sure, that a person, when he's performing avodas Hashem, is supposed to feel simcha. They're supposed to feel that they're ivdu es Hashem, b'simcha. While they're b'simcha, they're worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that happiness, with that joy that we described a second ago, that chas v'shalom, if we're lacking, the tocho to fall. So this is sort of like the opposite ends of the same statement. Like, you know, think of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, love your fellow person, and also my desani alach lo tavid, don't do what the other person doesn't like. Hillel says in the negative, the Torah says in the positive. So this too, it's the negative is, if you don't worship b'simcha, I'm going to kill you all. And the positive is, worship Hashem b'simcha, ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, beautiful. However, if Pincus here, if Pincus has a commentary, if Pincus has so many yisfarim, I don't know if people are familiar with his books, they publish them in English also. You're nodding your head, but I didn't see anyone. I walked in. I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying. Don't like nod as if you have them. The Haggadah. Okay, fine. Haggadah counts.
They translate in English.
They translate a lot of stuff in English. Rav Pincus is incredible, incredibly deep, incredibly insightful, incredibly normal. Just like a very normal person. He's intense, as my wife pointed out. She's working on the biography now. He's a very intense personality, but he was incredibly normal, and he got his message across in a very normal way through parables, through a regular kind of person-to-person speech. He's really an incredible thinker. We don't have so much of his writing. We have two or three, maybe three volumes of his own books that he wrote. Shabbos Malkaza, he wrote. Sha'arim B'Tfila, Berichos B'Cheshbon, the three that I remember offhand. Maybe there's one more. Those are brown volumes. And there's a bunch of red volumes called Nefesh Shimshon. Nefesh Shimshon, there might be 10 of them. There's ones on the different holidays. There's one on, Kinyan HaTorah. There's one of letters that he wrote. So one of them's on Tehillim. There's one on the Siddur also. They're all worthwhile to look at. And they translate a lot of those into English as well. They're very accessible. So the one on Tehillim, he comes on this pasuk, a beautiful, scary, but also it's going to be moving, we'll see soon, idea. He says it's true. The pasuk certainly does mean, at face value, what we said before. The pasuk certainly means, ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, that a person is charged with the imperative that they have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a feeling of simcha. We're told we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a smile on our face. We have to do the mitzvahs with a certain sense of happiness, of joy, of elation as described before. However, Pincus says there's another idea that lays under the surface in this pasuk as well. He says what the pasuk also means is that a person has a litmus test. You want to know if you're worshiping Kadosh Baruch Hu or not? You want to know if you're fully engaged with this mitzvah? You want to know if this mitzvah is really becoming part of you, if you're really doing the Ratzon Hashem when you shake this lulav, when you daven this tefillah, when you light those candles, when you're doing the b'dikas chametz, all the things we said before. You want to know if you're really performing the mitzvahs? Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. A litmus test to make sure to know if you're actually engaged in the avodas Hashem is, are you feeling simcha as you engage in that mitzvah? Now, it's almost like you don't want to say the next half of the sentence, but I'm going to say it just because it's the way he says it. He says, and if a person's doing a mitzvah, and they don't feel that sense of happiness, they don't feel the merit, the schus, of being involved in this mitzvah at the moment, it's a raya, it's a proof that maybe they're not fully engaged in the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be. Now, that's already too much of a musar shmuz for us. But he did mean it as a musar shmuz, so we'll say it that way. But what I want to try to draw out for the next few minutes tonight, the siyata shmaya bli nether, is that what Rav Pincus offered for us here is certainly a musar shmuz. A person has to realize that if they don't feel simcha and mitzvahs, they're not fully connected. That is true to a certain degree. But it's also a chizuk. It's also an etzah. It's a piece of advice for us. It sheds a light for us on how we're meant to achieve simcha, how we're able to use the mitzvos to propel us as a vehicle towards feeling the simcha that we're supposed to feel in the Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, not chas v'shalom the opposite of tachas asher lo avadat es Hashem alakecha b'simcha uvituv levav. So we're going to spin this sort of pinkus on its head. We're going to show us not just a musa shmuz, but it's also a tremendous chizik. In order to do so, we have to take a step back, and this is, I'm telling you, zone in now. This is very, very yisodistic, very fundamental. I'm very excited to share it. The following idea we have to develop is, I promised I wouldn't do this exactly, so I won't, but what is simcha? What is the idea of simcha? Or really more specifically, to try to attack the question we're dealing with, how can the Torah tell me I have to be b'simcha when I'm doing mitzvos? First of all, what do mitzvos and simcha have to do with each other? Why can't I do mitzvos seriously? I am an eved, I am a servant, I have to perform mitzvos. That mountain was held over my head, I have to do the mitzvos, so why do I have to feel a simcha? How does the Torah command us on feelings, like happiness during a mitzvah? How is it possible for us to feel a simcha in a mitzvah when shaking a lulav isn't exactly something that cheers people up? So how are we supposed to put the ideas of simcha and mitzvah together in order to attack that question? Let's talk for a second about the definition of simcha on a certain level. So if you look in source number 6, you have absolutely gorgeous lines, and it's in Hebrew, but if you turn to number 7, part of it that I put into English from the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik had this incredible, Rav Soloveitchik had everything incredible. Everything about him was incredible, part of why we named our son after him. But one of the things that he had that was so incredible was an incredible pen. His lashon, his way of writing was poetic, it was beautiful, it was deep, it was meaningful. It was also very challenging. That was true in Hebrew and in English. So when you read the Hebrew books, I always say, of Rav Soloveitchik, the only difference between reading his books in Hebrew and English is how many dictionaries you need. If you're reading in Hebrew, you need an English dictionary just to figure out what the words mean. If you're reading in Hebrew, you need a Hebrew-English dictionary to translate to English. Then you need an English dictionary to find out what that word means, because you have no idea what he's talking about. So it's a very high-level Hebrew, very high-level English, but once you get used to it, so you start to feel the Rav's passion coming through in his writing, it's really an amazing experience. So here, he has an essay called Vikashta Misham, very foundational, very important essay. It's printed back-to-back with the famous Isha Halacha, the halachic man. So here in the Hebrew, I typed it up for you, in source number 6, the Rav writes something unbelievable. He says, and again, he's developing in a context of halacha that's very important. This is a long footnote in the middle of the book. But he develops an important idea that tzafon, in the idea of simcha, tzafon kiyam simcha shebelev, pu'ula nafshis ruchanis. Simcha expresses itself in action. We eat food on Yom Tif. We drink wine on Yom Tif. We dance at Simchas Torah. We do actions to express simcha. But the Rav says, don't be confused for a second. Simcha, the demand of Simchas Yom Tif, is not defined by the eating, the drinking, or the dancing. Simcha is defined by the feeling in a person's heart. It's a kiyum shebelev. It's a fulfillment of a mitzvah that takes place only internally inside of a person, which then expresses itself and pours out into actions. But the actions are just the iteration, they're just the manifestation of the mitzvah of simcha, which takes place inside. The true mitzvah of simcha takes place in a person's neshama. So how do we define it? Listen to the words here, second line. Bamemis batas mahus simchas alev. How is the idea of happiness, of joy in a person's heart expressed? How is it manifest? Behargashas nochachos Hashem v'histabkus bo. Or if you look in the equation that he does, a little math for us, simcha equals amidah lifnei Hashem. Says the Rav, he has proof after proof for this. In Halacha and in Psukim, the Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, Ulkachtem lachem b'yom arishon priyei tzadar kapo smar v'anaf eitzavos v'arvei nachal, usmachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. So the Pasuk says, take for yourself a lulav and an eser and a hadas and a ravos, right? Take all of the dalad minim, and then usmachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. You should be happy, lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. What's lifnei Hashem alakechem? Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rav, in every context of simcha in halacha, you'll find that simcha is always equal to, simcha is always equated with, it's eternally bound to, it's tethered with, lifnei Hashem, standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew only feels simcha when they feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person feels close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they always feel simcha. That's the yisod, that's the root of simcha. Yom Tov is a time, whether we have a Beis HaMikdash where it's exaggerated or whether we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's a time where there's a moed, there's a meeting, there's a rendezvous, as the Rav would say in English, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a meeting with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're omed lifnei Hashem. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem shivas yamim. And as such, the Yom Tov of the year is a time for simcha. It's a time for simcha because we're omed lifnei Hashem, because we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're in His presence. How could we not feel happy? He says unbelievable proofs for this all over the place. One of the interesting things he says, the Gemara tells us, based on Rishonim, but the Gemara basically draws out the idea that a Kohen, whereas most people only have Yom Tov, three times a year, Shalosh V'Galim, a Kohen has, so to speak, Yom Tov all year round. What do you mean, a Kohen Gadol? I should say, a Kohen Gadol has Yom Tov all year round. What do you mean, a Kohen Gadol has Yom Tov all year round? Kohen Gadol is Yantif all year round because the Kohen Gadol is always in the Mikdash. He's always in the presence of Hashem. So whereas for me and for you, it takes three times a year where we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Yom Tovim that we can feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore feel the Simcha of Yantif. So for the Kohen Gadol, who's always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has that same Simcha, that same joy, that same feeling of Kirva, his Davkos to Hashem, all year round. And therefore he has that same Simcha all year round because he's in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unbelievable. If you flip the page, the source number two, again, we could spend all of our time on this from Rav Soloveitchik. There's so much here that we're cutting out. But he says, we'll just read a little bit of the English, as scripture states, the pasuk I quoted for you before, on a festival, all Israel stands before God, and the festival's importance is identified with man's rejoicing before his creator. The joy is merely an emotional expression of the human's experience of standing before God. Indeed, there is no rejoicing except before God, as it is written, Usmachtem ulfnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. Wherever one finds joy, one finds as well a standing before God. And the truth is the Rav develops a theme over there. This is the Sefer, the book Out of the Whirlwind, which is the lectures of the Rav on the concept of Avelus and tragedy and things of that nature. So he develops a thesis over there that Avelus is exactly the opposite. Avelus, mourning, is the feeling of richuk, of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why Avelus, mourning, always dictates a sense of sadness, because being farther from Hashem always results in more sadness, whereas Simchas Yantif always is coming from the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah?
So I was just going to ask you, how does Hashem expect someone who is going through like a really bad, you know, thing in their life,
right,
a child who passes away, a divorce,
right,
someone who's just going through a really hard time in their life, to they still go on and do mitzvah, but how are they expected to do that? The simple.
Right, so let's approach, we're not going to directly answer that, but hopefully what we discuss now will touch on that. We'll indirectly address that because, and I don't mean this to downplay the cases that you brought, because you brought pretty sad, you know, tragic cases in your examples, but we all, to a certain degree, are going through that right now, nationally. No, it's not similar. You know, we didn't, chas v'shalom, I don't want to repeat what you said. We didn't endure, you know, the tocha, but as a nation, we did. So we all feel a certain sense of tragedy, bleakness, darkness, you know, despondence, sadness, somber. It's a dark, grim time. So we're all going through that moment, and we all feel a little bit of a distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of that. So how are we expected to feel simcha during this type of time? So I do want to address that, and hopefully it'll address what you're talking about as well. But again, at the very, very basic level, you're just correct. Avelus does result in some distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The halacha mandates sadness during Avelus. The halacha doesn't say push it to the side, ivdu es Hashem besimcha during Avelus. It says sit it out. It says take a week. You know, cry. The halacha demands that. So the halacha understands our emotions and demands certain emotions. There's a time for each, and we're going to talk about how it's possible to be mezgaber, to overcome when you're feeling a certain way, to try to push past and feel simcha. How is that even possible? So here the Rav defined for us that simcha is this amida b'fnei Hashem. It's this unbelievable concept that when a person feels close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they feel simcha. But let's dig a little bit deeper. Here's where it gets interesting. Why? Why is that? Why is it that when a person's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they feel simcha? So I have two possibilities, two ideas, two approaches that might address this issue. But listen, this is interesting. So why would a person feel, when they're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they feel simcha? So the first answer is something from the Rav elsewhere. The Rav of Soloveitchik he wrote this in one place, and it's also written up in his name in other places, in a true Midrash, it's in Yimei Zikaron, and it's also buried in the back of the Kashmir Misham, if you read it carefully. The Rav had the following encounter with a psychologist. Apparently the psychologist said to him, psychiatrist, psychologist, I don't remember which one it was, what's the difference anyways? I guess if you can get medicine, right? That's a big difference. So fine, I don't know which one it was. So psychiatrist said to him, you know, you guys, you Jewish rabbis, you have to stop drilling in this Yiras Hashem thing so much. You're always telling people to be fearful, to tremble before God, that you should be, you know, Gilu V'Ra'adah, except for the Gilu. You have to focus a little more on the Gilu, a little less on the Ra'adah. Stop focusing on Yiras Hashem so much fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he said we live in a world where people are weak. Emotionally, we're weak. We're not stable, and sometimes we're even worse than that. And because there's so much emotional difficulty and mental instability, so it's not right to push this fear on all the Jewish people. We're not going to be able to handle this so much. Focus on simcha. Focus on ahavas Hashem, not yiras Hashem. A good argument by the psychologist. So the Rav said, you got it all wrong. It's all backwards. This is brilliant. He said, you got it all wrong. The Rav said, if a person doesn't have yiras Hashem, there are so many things in this world to be fearful of. Crossing the street is scary. Going on a plane is scary. Going to shul in the morning is scary because you don't know who you're going to be interacting with there. Walking in the streets in Israel is scary because you never know who's going to drive a certain way and who's going to shoot a certain way. You never know what's going to happen. Living life ever is scary because of the diseases that exist in the world, the amount of tragedies that can happen in all different permutations. We don't need to go on and on. It's scary to live life because there are a billion different things that can happen to us and our family members at any given moment. There are a billion fears in our life. But if a person has a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person feels Yiras Shemayim, If a person feels ein od milvado, there's nothing else out there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects me, and if he wants something to happen, it will happen. If he doesn't want something to happen, it won't happen. All the other fears disappear. All the other fears dissipate. If a person feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one yira, is the one thing to be fearful of, it doesn't cause a person to live as a recluse. It doesn't cause a person to live with a trepidation his whole life in a way that he can't function. Adarava, just the opposite. It allows us to function because we realize there's someone in control. We realize we're safer for having Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem allows us to function normally. It takes away the anxieties of the rest of the world. So the psychologist said, got it all wrong. The Yiras Hashem is the solution, it's the cure to all of the pachad, all of the fear that exists in our world. Unbelievable statement of the Rav. Now, with that in mind, the same seems to be true about Simcha, no? Simcha is always there under the surface, but it's always deterred. It's always an impediment. There's always something stopping it. When you have a concern, when you have anxiety, when you have something that's pushing back and telling you don't be happy. But if a person feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of them, even if it's coming from a place of fear, even if it's coming from a place of trembling before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know he's the one, you know he's protecting you, you know he's in charge, you know you're in his arms, you're in his place, so then you feel safer, you feel more comfortable, you feel more at home, and you can let yourself feel a little bit of simcha. You can let yourself feel a little bit of happiness. So says the Rav, every time a person is lifnei Hashem, every time that experience, we're always in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to some degree, but every time that amida lifnei Hashem is exaggerated, is intensified, every time the Hashras HaShechina is stronger, every time we feel like there's a more direct correlation and interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we have that amida lifnei Hashem, usmachtem lifnei Hashem, shebas yamim, automatically you feel simple because you're safe, you're at home, you feel like you're taken care of, nothing else can get to you, ein od mavado, there's nothing else there. Ultimate simcha immediately resides over such a person. That's the first idea, I think, in terms of why, you know, the lifnei Hashem, being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, results in a simcha. There's another angle as well. It's not so dissimilar, but it's a little bit of a tweak on this approach. The Maharal writes in one place in Netzach Yisrael that when a person, on the sheep, but when a person is called before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stands in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they simultaneously experience two feelings. They realize they're an Eved, which is awe-inspiring. It makes a person scared. You're the servant in the palace of the king, the Melech Malchei Melachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king. But at the same time, what else does it mean if you're standing in the palace of the king? I'm with the king. I'm special. I'm chashuv. I'm significant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must love me. Yes, he makes demands of me. Yes, I have to report to him. Yes, there's a din v'cheshbon. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I do good. Yes, I do bad. Yes, Melech Malchei Melachim, there's a yira, there's a pachad of being in the audience with the king. But on the other hand, I have an audience with the king. I'm a chosen, I'm from the Am HaNivchar. I'm the Ben Bechor. I'm with a Kadosh Baruch Hu one-on-one whenever I want to be. There's a tremendous simcha, a tremendous excitement, a tremendous joy in being a chosen person, a chosen servant of the king. So there's avdus, there's certainly the fear of being a servant, but there's also the immense joy and simcha of being in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the same time. Unbelievable. So these two ideas, again, the Rav on one hand and the Maharal on the other hand, show how the lifnei Hashem, standing in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, brings out simcha in a person. Once we have this idea, by the way, it's hard for me not to share this. There's a very difficult Gemara that I think this helps us understand a little better. I actually put it for you on the page if you want to look along in source number 8. The Mishnah tells us that when a person davens, there's a certain attitude that a person has to enter the davening with. So the Mishnah tells us, "Ein omdim lehespalel el mitoch koved rosh." A person should not begin to daven except if they're in a state of koved rosh, which means like a weighty seriousness. They have to feel an intensity. They have to feel a yira from Hashem, as, again, they're about to stand and daven in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim, you should feel a little bit of fear. You should feel a bit of awe before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That makes sense, right? We should be awe-stricken as we enter tefillah. Good. That's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara, later on, then says, Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, it's a brisa, Ein omnim lespalo. The Gemara says, Lo mitoch atzvus, lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch srok, lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch kalos rosh, lo mitoch dvar metelim, ela mitoch simcha, a simcha shal mitzvah. A person should only approach tefillah, should only enter davening with a feeling of elation, of joy, of excitement, of simcha. Simcha shel mitzvah, but a simcha nonetheless. So some of the Mefarshim understand this Gemara, that there's two opinions over here. One opinion says you should enter davening with your head bowed, with your tears, you know, flowing from your eyes, scared, bent over, you're scared of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kovod Rosh. And the other opinion says, take your guitar and your smile and go daven the happy minion. You know, have a great time, have a ball, simcha, simcha shel mitzvah. And it's a machlokas, it's a dispute, but that's hard to believe, no? Because usually we like to assume that when there's a machlokas, a dispute in the Gemara, it's not min hakatzah ad hakatzah. It's not like one person says 100% and one person says 0%. They're so far away, they don't agree at all. Usually we like to assume that if there's a dispute, there's a machlokas, they agree on some basic, you know, principle, and they argue about a detail in the principle. But here, one says you should be sad and somber and serious and weighty and scared when you walk into the shul, and the other one says, no, walk in dancing, walk with your head held high, walk in with simcha. What kind of machlokas is this? One from the extreme to the other extreme? It doesn't make any sense. But now think about it. What is the feeling a person is supposed to feel ultimately when they stand in tefillah? What should they feel? Not these two ideas. What should a person feel when they're standing in tefillah? Basic answer without the Gemara. That they're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they're standing lifnei Hashem. When a person stands before Hashem, what do they feel? What emotion does that engender? Well, it's a little complicated, right? On the one hand, you feel like an eved. You feel scared. You feel unworthy. You feel like you're the slave in the court of the palace of the king. On the other hand, you feel tremendously blessed. You feel safe. You feel comfortable with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you feel simcha. You feel happiness. So that same feeling of lifnei Hashem, that same experience of standing in the place of Kadosh Baruch Hu within his Dalai Amos and petitioning him with your tefillah engenders two simultaneous feelings. It's complex, but two simultaneous feelings. One is a feeling of awe, of kovid rosh, and the other is a feeling of simcha, of excitement, of a zchus, a merit, to be in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These two tanoim in the Gemara, they're not arguing two extremes. They both agree you need to feel like you're lifnei Hashem. You need to feel like you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I have a question. When you're lifnei Hashem and you feel these two feelings, simcha and yira at the same time, which should we focus on? Which one should be the focus of our attention? Two sides of the same coin, it's the same feeling. It's the same experience of lifnei Hashem, but which part of that lifnei Hashem should we focus on? Should we focus on the simcha and be excited about the tefillah? Or should we lean into that feeling of yira and approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our heads low, bent over? That's the discussion the Tanaim are having. But everyone agrees it's the same basic principle. That you're standing before Hashem, it engenders two simultaneous feelings of simcha and of yira. And the question is simply which one's the focus, which one's the emphasis when a person begins to daven. Is it the simcha shel mitzvah or is it the kovid rosh? But again, the lifnei Hashem generates both of those things equally, simultaneously, necessarily simultaneously, because the yira leads to the simcha, as we explained before, because of the comfort of being before Hashem or because of the zechus of standing before Hashem, that yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads to the simcha ultimately. So it's the same idea, it's the same core principle. They're just arguing about where to put the dagesh chazak, where to put the emphasis. Unbelievable pshat, I think, in the Gemara. So anyway, so standing with Bnei Hashem apparently brings about a sense of simcha. Now remember, we spoke about Rav Pinkus earlier. We mentioned that he has a lot of books, and we mentioned they translate to English, and you lied about having a Haggadah. We had all the whole back and forth, right? Then we discussed that Rav Pinkus says in his comment on Tillim that ivdu es Hashem b'simcha means, first of all, you have to worship Hashem with simcha, and secondly, that if you're not feeling the simcha, you're probably not really worshiping Hashem. We said that's definitely a musar shmuz, but there's also a chizik there. What do you mean a chizik? He's hitting us over the head. He's saying if we don't feel it, we're not really involved in Avodas Hashem. No. But the flip side of what he's saying is that no, the charge of ivdu es Hashem b'simcha is also a promise. It's also a guarantee that if a person is ivdu es Hashem, if a person feels and connects to the fact that when they're doing a mitzvah, they're before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's another chance to interact intimately with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're bifnei Hashem, then they will feel simcha. A person doesn't have to feel like they're tugging on some, doesn't necessarily have to feel, you can also feel this way. They don't have to feel like shaking the lulav tugs on some, hits their funny bone and makes them laugh. They don't have to feel like lighting Shabbos candles somehow tugs on some emotional heartstring that makes them happy. That would be great also, and it could be true for people. But simply the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a mitzvah of hadlakas neros, gave you a mitzvah of lulav, gave you a mitzvah of davening, and you have the zchus and the comfort of standing in His presence and interacting with Him on this holiday, on this Shabbos, on this weekday, you're saying halal for Rosh Chodesh at home on your own. You don't need a 10-piece orchestra to make it feel happy. You don't even need to sing the words out loud. If you feel the zchus and you feel the safety of being in the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being in His palace, His Dalet Amos, being in His presence, then a person can feel simcha just simply by being ivdu. Just simply by being engaged in Avodas Hashem, a person will automatically feel simcha. So again, it's a challenge, it's a charge, it's an imperative, but it's also a promise, it's also a guarantee that if a person properly internalizes what we've spoken about until now, that the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu engenders that feeling and generates that feeling of simcha, then ivdu es Hashem b'simcha turns on its head. Not only is it a challenge, but it's also a promise that we'll feel that simcha if we so choose to connect to that idea of feeling lifnei Hashem. Beautiful idea that Rav Pinkus, I think, is giving across in that same message. This is not the only way to read the pasuk we started with. We started with the pasuk that the Jewish people are admonished and threatened with the entire tochcha. And the pasuk says why? Tachas asher lo avadat Hashem lakecha b'simcha b'tuv leivav mirov kol, that you didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha. So he said the simple understanding is that you worship Hashem, but you didn't have happiness while you were worshiping. The Rambam, and this was first pointed out to me by my Rebbe, Rav Tursky Shlita, it's written up as well, in source number 9. The Rambam elsewhere actually learns the pasuk a little bit differently. We're not going to go through the details here just because we don't want to spend all the time on it, but it's worthwhile to read inside and see where this is coming from. But basically, what comes out of the Rambam is something absolutely fantastic. The Rambam clearly intimates in source number 9, and he says it really explicitly in source number 10, the Rambam intimates here that the idea of the pasuk Tachas Asher Lo Avadat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Leivav, it doesn't have to mean only that you didn't worship Hashem with simcha. You know what else it can mean? It can mean that sometimes in our lives, thankfully, we have simcha. We have happiness. Something good happens to us. There are momentous occasions. There are celebrations. And when we have those moments of excitement, those moments of happiness, what do we do? How do we act? So the Rambam says there's two ways a person can respond. One way is they could eat, drink, and be merry and celebrate the simcha, enjoy all the festivities of their to their liking. They should just have a grand old time, have a ball, because they experienced the simcha. That, says the Rambam, is tachas asher lo avadata Hashem Elokecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav. You, when you were happy in those years, you didn't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of your happiness. What we're being charged with, what we're being told, is that when a person feels a sense of happiness, they have that emotional feeling, the excitement of something good in their life that happens, they need to channel that emotion to Avodat Hashem. They need to take that emotion and use it as a vehicle to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We experience a simcha, say a piece of tillim, say a kapitel tillim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have some yeshua that we were saved from something, take on another mitzvah. Generate Avodat Hashem from your simcha. Tachas asher lo avadat Hashem alakecha. You didn't worship Hashem bisimcha, in the times of simcha. Not with simcha. In the times of simcha, you didn't use that simcha to then generate Avodat Hashem. That was your lacking. That was your fault. That's what the tochcha comes for. The Rambam says, he's in the Morne Vuchim, you have it in source number 10, that the Yamim Tovim, the reason for the Yamim Tovim is exactly this. Yamim Tovim noadu kulam lesmachos ulehiskansuyos ma'angos ha'echrechios la'adam larov. The Sefer Chinuch mimics this in the Mitzvah Taf Peches, where basically the Rambam says that a person is bound to feel happy at certain points in their life. You're bound to have experiences of simcha. Because the Torah knows, the Kaddish Baruch Hu realizes we're going to feel simcha, he gave us a solution. He gave us a couple of times a year where we're supposed to feel simcha, and we have a channel, we have an avenue to generate simcha in the direction of Avodas Hashem. Yom Tif. Take all of your happiness and spend it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yantiv. Spend it on enjoying the sukkah. Spend it on even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when there's a mitzvah of simcha. There's a mitzvah of simcha on those days of yantiv because it gives us a way, it gives us an avenue to channel our natural feelings of simcha into Avodas Hashem, which is the charge of the tochcha. Tachas asher lo avadata Hashem alakecha bisimcha, that you need to use the simcha of your life to then generate more and more Avodas Hashem. An incredible pshat in the pasuk that, again, is not intuitive, it's not something we thought of, but that's what the Rambam says here in the Mor Nevuchim, but specifically in the Rambam Hilchos Yantif, that he says the pshat in the pasuk of Tachas Asher Lo Avadat Hashem Alakecha B'Tuv Leivav B'Simcha B'Tuv Leivav means that the simcha has to then create Avodas Hashem. Not only, like we said before, that Avodas Hashem should be with simcha, but that simcha should result as well in Avodas Hashem. Amazing pshat in the pasuk. So both of our pshatim read beautifully into the pasuk, and they both read beautifully into Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha as well. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, worship Hashem with simcha, or Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, worship Hashem in times of simcha. Use your simcha to worship Hashem. But there's another pshat, and with this we'll close, that I think is also very inspiring and very empowering as well, and it also a little bit solves the frustration of not necessarily connecting or feeling all the things that we've been speaking about until now. The Ramban writes, I put at the end of the sheet over here, the Ramban writes, sort of in a far-flung place, but the Ramban writes that there are up to five different meanings of the letter Beis in the Torah, in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. I mean, the letter Beis usually means what? When the letter Beis is the beginning of a word? In. So it usually means in. The Ramban says, yeah, it usually often means in, but it can mean four other things as well. We're only going to focus on two of them. One of them is in. The Yosef Hayah B'Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Egypt. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. So sometimes bi means in. Sometimes, however, bi doesn't mean in, but it actually means with or through. Al yedei, through. For example, Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham biyad chazaka uvizroa netuya. He didn't take us out in a strong hand, an outstretched arm. He took us out with a strong hand, kivyachol, as it were. He took us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. So the Ramban says you could have the word beis, the letter beis, could mean either in or it could mean with. So the sixth Ger Rebbe was the Leiv Simcha. I think he passed away in I don't remember, I think 1992 or 1993, that range, and that's when the Pnei Menachem took over. The Lev Simcha was the, I think, the one who took over the Beis Yisrael. He was the sixth in between the Beis Yisrael and the Pnei Menachem. So the Lev Simcha had a beautiful word over here. He said, if you read the pasuk Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, you could really read it two ways based on the Ramban. One way you could read it is the simple way, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, that a person has to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Simcha. That either the Rambam or what we said before, either Rambam, they're both from the Rambam, either what the Rambam said originally, that a person should worship Hashem in Simcha, in a state of Simcha, right? You should worship Hashem in a state of Simcha. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, the way we refer to it colloquially, Tachas Asher Lo Avadta Es Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha, that you need to use Simcha while you're worshiping Hashem, or in times of Simcha, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, in times of Simcha, generate Ivdu Es Hashem, like we said most recently from the Rambam as well. However, there's another pshat as well that the Lev Simcha said, which is you could say that Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha doesn't mean in Simcha, but rather it means al yedei, with Simcha. Or the way he said it in his Yiddish was, you have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu darch di Simcha, through the Simcha, which means, says the Lev Simcha, and the Pnei Menachem expounds upon this, that when a person tries to summon up happiness, when a person tries to connect to a mitzvah, when a person tries to feel that lifnei Hashem that we've been talking about all night, tries to feel the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mitzvah they're doing, that avoda, which the Rambam refers to as an avoda gedolahi, it's a tremendous, difficult, arduous task of trying to summon up the courage to have simcha while doing mitzvahs, especially in hard times. But as a person fights for that simcha, as a person tries to find that happy place within the mitzvah, as a person tries to feel the amida lifnei Hashem during a mitzvah, that attempt of feeling simcha is Ivdu Es Hashem b'simcha. Worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your attempt at simcha. Your simcha is itself avodas Hashem. Your simcha is inherently a mitzvah. You're feeling happier, you're feeling calmer, you're feeling safer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your mitzvahs. That is itself avodas Hashem, inherently. That avoda is itself the avoda of simcha. You have to have simcha b'mitzvos, and you have to have mitzvos b'simcha. But it's also a mitzvah to try to achieve that simcha. It's a mitzvah to try to achieve that simcha. Ivdu Es Hashem, says the Lev Simcha, ironically, his name is Lev Simcha, you have to worship Hashem through your simcha. Your simcha itself is an avodas Hashem inherently, which is an incredible idea, but it's also incredibly empowering in our context. Because first of all, the two things we mentioned, I think, are more attainable than we started with. There's a feeling that a person's supposed to feel when they do mitzvahs, that they're doing mitzvahs for a Borei Olam, for a Ribono Shel Olam, for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we stop, we pay attention, we think, we can feel the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can feel simcha from two different angles. Either as an eved, or as the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there taking care of us, there's nothing else in the world, there's a simcha of being comfortable, of being safe, of being at home with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if we don't connect to that every time, we do have moments of simcha outside of that as well in our life. We have momentous occasions, B'siyat HaShemayim, we have a lot of them. We have tremendous happy points in our lives, and we can use those happy moments to try to take on more, to try to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to try to find something else to add to our avodas Hashem. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, use the happiness to propel you to more avodas Hashem. But even when those things are difficult, even when it's a challenging time, even when it's dark, when it's bleary, when it's very grim outside, and it's hard to see any light in the near future, any light at the end of this tunnel, even so, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha, Darch Di Simcha, through the Simcha, our avodas HaSimcha, our work on ourselves to try to connect to Simcha is itself an avoda gedola, is itself a tremendous effort in the way of avodas Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. That too merits much reward, and that too will yield many results, hopefully, of happy times. So as we are going through this dark time, and as we fight for victory and safety for Klal Yisrael everywhere, we have to realize that, especially as we enter the month of Adar, this year we have two opportunities. We should work on Simcha. It's hard to find context and ways to work on Simcha during a time like this. I think people struggled with it when they're making a bris or a wedding or a bar mitzvah in the past couple of months. Hopefully they're still struggling with it. Klal Yisrael is still in the Eis Tzara. It's hard to make a Simcha. But this is a Simcha we can make. We can make a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. We can engage in tefillah, in Torah, in mitzvos in a way that brings about a certain feeling of safety, of comfort, of closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and through that, we should have the ultimate kiyum of Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. So I thank again the Ormbachs for hosting. I really appreciate it, and it was a wonderful pleasure to learn with everyone here. Yashay Kayach.